Good morning. Today's Daf and Yomah. Hey, we are on Daf Amud Beis. We're about six, 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Mechlal de Tavayu. The Gemara now has recorded really one conversation since the beginning of the Masech, the Daf and Beis Gimel and Dalet, all dedicated itself to the Zayin Yemei Afrasha. Shivas Yamim, Kodem Yom Kippur, Mafrish and Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah tells us that prior to Yom Kippur, so the Kohen is going to be sequestered for 7 days in a Lishka called the Lishka's Parhedrin. The simple question is, how do we know this? Where does this come from? The other simple question is, what's the purpose of it? But the Gemara is more focused on Menahan Emili. How do I know this? So there is no record in Torah where the Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol has to do this as part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And meanwhile, the Mishnah talks about how it is a part and parcel of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim that he needs Hachana for 7 days. So where do we know this from? So Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish had spent the first three blot of the Masechta discussing this very point. And to that, Rav Yochanan is of the position that this halacha, so we learned it out from the Miluim. So it says regarding the Miluim that prior to the Hakamas HaMishkan, which took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that was Yom HaShmini, that's in fact the beginning of Parsha Shmini, so that obviously is the eighth day after what? After 7 days of Hachana. So 7 days of preparation where the Kohen, in that case it was Aaron, sequestered himself for 7 days. So that is going to be serving as a base model. Every time that the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing an avoda, specifically the avoda of Yom Kippurim, he's going to require hafrasha. That is Shitas Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says no. That's not the source. The source is not coming out from the Miluim, but rather, according to Reish Lakish, the source is going to come out from Mamon Har Sinai. After revelation at Har Sinai, so what happens is that Moshe prepares himself for 6 days, and then he goes into the Anan, and he goes into the cloud, and is going to have an intense connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now, of course, the problem over there is that it's 6 days, not 7 days. But the Gemara raises that as an issue. The Gemara says, you have to say that according to Reish Lakish, they added a day. Okay, for a possibility, for a chance, maybe the Kohen Gadol was Bol Nida. Okay, anyway, without getting too into the details. So the Machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is whether we're learning out from the Miluim or whether we learn it out from Mamad Har Sinai and from Moshe. With that stated, so we're continuing now in the Gemara. We are on Dalmud Beis. So Mechlal de Tarvayu, the two of them, meaning this is both Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Mechlal de Tarvayu Sfir Lehu Miluim Kol HaKosav Em Akim Em. So this is going to be today's topic, right, laid out right in the beginning of today's daf, and that is that by the Miluim, their instructions, in fact, not only are there instructions, there are clear instructions that are mentioned twice in the Torah. Once in Parsha Tetzav and the other one in Parsha Tetzav. It actually happens to be very easy to remember. Right, the both parshios have a shorish of tzav. So in parshas tzav, so after the Torah outlines the begadim that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. So after that, the Torah goes through, and here's what's going to happen in terms of preparing the Mishkan. There's going to be miluim. There's going to be days of preparation, followed by the introduction, the day of induction, the opening day, basically, and the. And then in Parshas Tzav, so that takes us actually through the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, ending up, of course, with Yom HaShmini, which is the very next Parsha, right after Tzav. Good. So now here's the discussion that we're going to have, and that is Kol HaKosev Behem Ma'akev Behem. So there's going to be numerous instructions that are given over there. Are they all going to be essential? Are they all going to be critical? Now, it happens to be that this is one of those dapim which are a little bit difficult to understand because we're going to be spending most of our daf today discussing the essential nature of the avodah that's done for the miluim. So do you know when the miluim happened? So years ago. Do you know how many times that we have had Shivas Yemei Miluim since then? So the answer presumably is none. So generally speaking, when discussing a historical event, so the Gemara will say, "My dahava hava." Look, it happened already. And however it happened, it happened. So why has it become so critical for us to know about it? Okay, that's an overarching question. I raised it. I'm sorry, I don't have like great answers for it, but it happens to be a good part of today's daf in terms of whether or not all the details by the Miluim are essential or not essential. And it makes it even funnier, by the way, because later in today's daf, in today's very daf, the Gemara is going to ask the question on a somewhat different issue of my dahava hava. You know what happened already, and why do we have to why do we have to figure out whether or not it's essential? It's not essential. It's not halach lamaisa. Okay, so be that as it may, right? I'm sorry for asking such a strong question at the beginning of the daf today, but be that as it may. So this is going to be our discussion. So first off, the Gemara notes that Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish are both of the position that everything by the Malum is essential. How do I know that? Sorry. Before we get to that part, so Didmar, the Gemara says, look, here's what we do know. Miluim, Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. So by the Miluim, so it's a debate between Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Chadamar, Kol HaKos, Behem, Ma'akev, Behem, V'Chadamar, Davar, Ha'ma'akev, L'Doros, Ma'akev, Behem, She'im, Ma'akev, L'Doros, Ma'akev, Behem. So there are two positions. One position is every detail by Malum is essential. A second position is no. Only those things that are essential for future generations are essential by the Malum. Those things that are not essential by future generations are not essential by the Malum. Now, the way it was presented to us, we don't know who said which position. But the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what, though, that part we know. So I know that Rav Yochanan ends up being the one who says that by Miluim, everything's essential. Why? Because look at the conversation that we had in yesterday's daf. Mid-de-kamerlei 2 days ago. Mid-de-kamerlei Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Rav Yochanan imam Miluim kol ha-kos behem ha-ake behem v'lo kamahadalei v'lo midi. Remember the dialogue where Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, if it's by Miluim, do you know by Miluim, everything's ma'akev? Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan. Now Rav Yochanan didn't say in response, I disagree with that premise. Rav Yochanan clearly accepted that as a premise. So you see that Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are both of the position of kol ha-kos behem ha-ake behem by the Miluim. So the Gemara says, this time, yeah, good. So at least we've got one thing clear, and that is Rav Yochanan happens to be of the position that when it comes to the Miluim, so every detail by the Miluim is essential. Now, what details are we talking about? Good question. My Benayu. So that's basically the first amud of today's daf. So I'm Rav Yosef. We're going to go through four items. We're going to rattle four items that become essential by the Miluim, even though for generations they're not essential. For all future of Avoda. I'm Rav Yosef. We'll start off with Smicha. So Rav Yosef says Smicha. So doing the mitzvah of Smicha, putting your hands on the animal, applying significant weight to the head of the animal. So this is the Avoda of Smicha. And generally speaking, it's not Ma'akev, but when it comes to the Miluim, so again, if you subscribe to Rav Yochanan, it's going to be Ma'akev. So Ika Benay Laman Damer Kol HaKos Behem Ma'akev Behem Smicha Ma'akva and Laman Damer Davar Shein Ma'akev L'Dor Se Ma'akev Behem Smicha Lo Ma'akva. So the Gemara says it's our first Nafkamina, and that's going to be Smicha. For Rav Yochanan, it's Ma'akev. For Rabbi Chanina, it's not Ma'akev, because for the future generations, it's not Ma'akev. Now, Gemara says, follow-up question. How do I know for future generations it's not ma'akev? Oladoros menalan dolo ma'akev detanya. So the Gemara quotes the brisa of v'samach v'nirtza. So we look at the beginning of Parshas, Vayikra, Perek Alpha, Vayikra. The Torah says, you will do smicha, and it will create ritzui. That will make the carbon accepted. That will achieve kapara. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. We all know. V'chi smicha mechaperes v'alo ein kapara ela bedam. Smicha is not the kapara. That's not what gets us kapara. What gets us kapara is sprinkling of the blood in the mizbeach. That's the key component of kapara. Shenemar ki adam hu b'nefesh yichaper. The Torah says beferush that the kapara comes via the sprinkling of the dam. Umatam alam v'samach v'nirtza. So what is the Torah trying to tell us v'samach v'nirtza? She'im asal smicha shayare mitzvah ma'ala alav akasav ki ilo lo kiper. If you treat smicha like shayare mitzvah, you know what? It's not that critical. All right, we could get away without doing smicha. So the Torah now wants to tell us that it's as if you didn't get a kapara. However, v'chiper. But the truth of the matter is, you did get a kapara. A little counterintuitive, meaning the Torah says v'samach v'nirtza. Basically, the drasha is the Torah is really unhappy with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really unhappy. Meaning smicha is not essential. You didn't have to do smicha. The Torah is going to treat you as if you didn't get a kapara. But the truth of the matter is, you did get a kapara. Anyway, as curious as a drasha as it is, it's a drasha, which means that ladoros, it's not ma'akev. So again, if you're Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't matter. For Miluim, everything's ma'akev. And if you're Rabbi Chanina, so enachinami. Smicha is not going to be ma'akev by Miluim. Next, Rav Nachman, raised Lamar Tanufa, number two, the waving. So certain parts of a carbon are going to be waved by the Kohanim. Chazev v'shok are going to be waved. Igemenei alaman damar kol ha-kos behem ma'akev behem. Ma'akva alaman damar davashay ma'akev l'dorosay ma'akev behem lo ma'akva. And again, same nafgamina. If you're Rabbi Yochanan, so tenufa by the meluim, essential. If you're Rabbi Chanina, tenufa is not essential because it's not essential for future generations. Follow-up question. How do I know it's not essential for future generations? The Tanya, we learned in a brisa, l'tenufa l'chaper. V'chi tenufa mechaper, so it's basically going to be the same type of drasha. You know, the waving of the parts of the karban, that's really important. By the way, the Kohen waves it. So we discussed this in Menachos a little bit in more detail. In other words, the Kohen takes the parts of the karban, the chaz v'shok, it put it into his hand, and like a lulav on sukkahs, malo mori goes up and down. All right, molichumevi, front back. Okay, I know we do a couple more movements with our lula, but anyway, that's the tenufa. How do I know for future generations it's not ma'akev? So the Gemara says because the Torah says detanya. L'tenufa lechaper v'chi tenufa mechapers v'alo ein kapara lebedam. So again, the Torah gives us the impression that tenufa is really important. It's mechaper. Meanwhile, that's not true. The dam is mechaper. Shenemar ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. Matam alam l'tenufa lechaper. And again, it's going to be the same type of drasha. Shim asa l'tenufa shayari mitzvah. You know, if you're casual about the tenufa, you know what, let's just skip the tenufa. You know it's not that essential. So mala alavakasu kilo lo kipir. So the Torah is going to basically treat you as if you didn't get a kapara, but truth be told, v'chipir. But you are going to get a kapara. That's number two. Number three, Rav Papa amar prisha shiva ika benayu. So Rav Papa says, hafrasha. The idea that the Aaron and his sons are going to be sequestered for 7 days, so that is going to be another issue that's going to be on the table. Is it essential? So again, it's going to be dependent on this very same point. So if you're Rav Yochanan by Miluim, everything's essential. The Torah writes it, it's essential. And if you subscribe to Rabbi Chanina, that the only things that are essential are those things that are essential for future generations, so then it's going to be Makiv. Otherwise, it's not going to be Makiv. And again, the Gemara is assuming now that the Zayin Yemei HaFrasha are not Makiv. Menalan de la Ma'akva. The Gemara says, that's interesting. How do I know that it's not Ma'akev? So, midikat tani mesaknim v'lo ketani mafrishim. Because remember the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of our Masechta. First Mishnah of our Masechta talks about the stand-in Kohen, right? We have a Kohen Gadol, but we're also going to have a stand-in, a reserve, just in case something happens to our Kohen Gadol. Now, the language of the Mishnah was very careful. The Mishnah says, mesaknim lo Kohen acher. We just simply install another Kohen to stand in his place. But the Mishnah does not say mafrishin, that he has to go through the 7 days of sequestering. Now, what happens if the day immediately prior to Yom Kippur, something happens to the Kohen Gadol? Okay, good. So we'll call to the bullpen. So we'll get out, we're going to get out our Kohen. But he didn't sequester for 7 days. Okay, so it's clear. It's not ma'akev. Seemingly. Okay, fine. He's already he's a back. He's a backup. So again, it's clear that the sequestering is not critical. It's not critical. So now that we know it's not critical, so again, so according to Rabbi Chanina, it's not critical by Miluim, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, it is. Okay, let's tack on one more. So far this morning, we've covered those parts of the avoda that are not critical to Doros. So far, it's smicha, tenufa, and prisha shiva. And now, again, it comes out that according to Rav Yochanan, yes, he agrees it's not critical to Doros. By Miluim, it is critical. Rabbi Chanina says, no, it's Hainoach, it's the same thing. Ravina Amar Ribu Shiva Meshicha Shiva Ika Baina. Ravina says, I'm going to add one more thing to our list of those things which are not critical. And again, by the Miluim, did they do it? The answer is yes, they did it. Is it critical by the Miluim? So once again, Machlokus Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Lamanda Makalakosa Bam Akva Bam Akva Lamanda Madavashe Makav Ladorse Makavam Loma Akva. So again, these two items are critical are critical according to Rav Yochanan, not critical according to Rabbi Chanina. What are these two items? So Ribu Yeshiva, let's take them one by one. Ribu Yeshiva over here is that the Kohen Gadol is going to be dressed every day of the Zayin Yemei Meluim, is going to be dressed in the Big Day Kohuna. Again, he's not doing the Avoda. That's just all the It's the hachana, it's the preparation. So, but nevertheless, Moshe's going to dress him every day in the Big Day Kahuna. So, and he has to do it every one of the 7 days. Again, is that critical? Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. Rav Yochanan would say yes, because it's Meluim. According to Rav Yochanan, everything's critical. And according to Rabbi Chanina, is that critical? No. And that's ribui shiva. What about Mashiach shiva? So we know that the Kohen Gadol needs to be nimshach. He needs to be anointed with the oil. And now we know that the anointment of the oil came every day of the 7 days of the Zayin Yemei HaMiluim. So once again, is that critical? Rabbi Yochanan would say yes. Rabbi Chanina would say no. And again, by the way, I know it's a bit of a frustration because Rabbi Chanina admits that they did it. It's just a question of, is it essential? No. And why isn't it essential? Because for Lidaris, it's not essential. Now, you mean to tell me that Mashiach is not essential? If you have the Shemen HaMishcha, it's not essential to anoint with the oil? Sure it is. But only one day is essential. To do it all 7 days, that's not essential. Ula Doris Manalan Doloma Akva, the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Titania. And here we go now, our fourth drasha of this morning. So once again, we talk about the Kohen doing Mashicha and Vashir Yamalayas Yado. So Ma Tamalamar Lefishad Mashivas Yamim Yabishema Kohen Tachtav Mibanav. So the Torah says back in Parshas Tetzave. Remember, the Milum are mentioned twice in the Torah. Once in Parshas Tetzava, again in Parshas Tzav. Tetzava, that's the instruction. Tzav is when they actually did it. So back in Tetzava, the Torah says, Shivas Yamim Yabishem HaKoin Tachtav Mibanav. So it says that for 7 days they're going to dress. So Ainli Ela Nisra B'Shiva V'Nimshach Shiva Nisra B'Shiva V'Nimshach Yom Echad Nisra B'Yom Echad V'Nimshach Shiva Minayin. So far I see that a coin, in order to be installed, needs Mashicha for 7 days, like we see in Parshat Tzitzava, needs Ribui Begadim for 7 days, like we see in Parshat Tzitzava. How do I know that if he did it only for one day, either one of them, either the Ribui Begadim or the Mashicha, if he did it for one day, that would be sufficient? Tamalam Asher Yim Shachoso V'Asher Yim Aleis Yado Mikom Akom. The extra pasuk comes to tell us that the 7 days is not li'ikuva. He just simply needs to do both of those for one day, and that would be sufficient in order for installment. Ashkechan ribui shiva lechatchila, mishicha shiva lechatchila menalan. Now, it's clear that the Aaron dressed for all 7 days, and he was put into his big de kahuna for all 7 days. That part's clear. How do I know that he was also nimshach b'shemen for 7 days? It doesn't say that beferish in the pasuk. The dressing it does, but not the anointing with oil. So ibai zema meditzer chalim ute. So the Gemara comes about this in one of two arguments. One argument is, well, since we had a drasha that tells us that one day of Mashiach is sufficient, so that means that lichatila the Mashiach should be for 7 days. That's one argument. And he by saying, Madama Crow, Vigday Kodesh, Hashir Laron, Yehul of Anav, Acharav, Lemashcha Behem, Ulamale Ba Mesyadam. So we have in this Pasuk a Hekesh. Two items up for discussion in this Pasuk. One is Mashicha, that's the anointing with the oil. Ulamale Ba Mesyadam. So and Bigday Kodesh, Hashir Laron, and the Bigadim. So we have what's called a Hekesh. Hekesh Mashicha, Leribui, Ma Ribui, Shiva, Mashicha, Shiva. So just like the Ribui Begadim should be done for 7 days, so to the Mashicha should be done for 7 days. But again, that's not essential. What's essential is only that it be done for one day. Okay, so Amud Aleph of today's daf, a very straightforward. We have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Rav Yochanan says that every detail by the Milum is critical. It's essential. And even though Lidoris, it's not essential, but for the Miluim, it is essential. And Rabbi Chanina says, no, the Miluim is just a reflection of Doros. Whatever is true Lidoros is going to be true by Miluim. So whatever is not critical Lidoros, and let's rattle them off on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. And that would be Smicha, putting your hands and resting them on the carpet. Tanufa, waving the Chaz of Ashok. Prisha Shiva, sequestering for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. Ribui Shiva, Mashicha Shiva, the installation of a Kohen, where he wears clothing for the 7 days, where he is anointed for 7 days. All those items are not essential, Lidoros, and according to Rabbi Chanina, they're not essential also for the Miluim as well. And according to Rav Yochanan, they are. That's the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Skipped a couple words. Second to last line on Hey Amud Aleph. My time demand Amar Kolakosu Be'em Akev. This idea of Kolakosu Be'em Akev, which is the sheet of Rav Yochanan, and by the way, as we learned in the beginning of today's daf, also the sheet of Reish Lakish as well. Where does it come from? Meaning, why by the Malum does everything critical? Meaning, the truth of the matter is, if we thought about it for just a moment, Rabbi Chanina's position makes a lot more sense. Why should the Milum be any different than the Avodah for all future generations? If Smicha, Tenufa, Hafrasha Zion, Ribui Shiva, Meshicha Shiva, if they're not essential Ladaros, so then they shouldn't be essential for the Miluim. And what's behind the sheet of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish that everything by the Miluim is essential? So that's the Gemara's question. My time and demand Amar Kolakosa Be'ama Akev, Amar Rebbe Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Amar Krav Vasisa Laron Levanav, Kacha. Kacha Ikuvahu. So from the word Kacha, so it means it must be done in this manner, and that is Li'ikuva. Now, Tenach, Kol Milsa Diksiva Bahayinyana. So the Gemara says, wait one second. As we already pointed out in the beginning of Shir today, the Miluim are described twice in the Torah. Once in Parshat Tetzaveh, that's the instruction. And a second time in Parshat Tzav, that's the actual completion of that's the carrying out of the instructions. Now, the drasha that we just quoted, V'asisa l'aron l'avanav kacha, that's back in Parshat Tetzaveh. So what we could say is as follows. Everything back in Parshas Tetzaveh is Likuva. But what if something is not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh? Now, what's not mentioned back in Parshas Tetzaveh? So Rashi over here writes, Love Rashi is on the top of the Amud Beis. Second Rashi. So the Lok Siv, Rashi writes, B'Parshas HaMiluim B'Zeh HaDavar Asher Taseh Lok Siv Shitein Ela Choshen Urim V'Tumim. So it doesn't mention anything regarding the Urim V'Tumim. But if you move to Parshat Tzav, Shenem Rasham Asiyas HaMiluim, K'siv V'Yitein Alav Esa Choshen V'Yitein Esa Choshen Esa Urim V'Tumim. So it mentions in Parshat Tzav the Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim is the Shem HaMafarsh that's folded and put into the Choshen. So it's not mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh. It is mentioned in Parshat Tzav. Now Rashi himself acknowledges, right, the balance of this Rashi. What do you mean it's not mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh? Of course it's mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh. Because go to the first half of Parshat Tetzaveh, and what you're going to find over there is the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, in full description, including, of course, the Urim V'Tumim. But Rashi writes, yeah, but that's not the Miluim. That's just simply the Torah listing, outlining exactly what are the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. But then when later in Parshat Tetzaveh, later in Parshat Tetzaveh, when the Torah actually goes through the instructions of, here's what the Kohen's going to do for the Miluim, so the Urim V'Tumim is not mentioned. In Parshat Tzav, when we actually carry out the instructions, so the Urim V'Tumim are mentioned. So it's a super detail-oriented question. So if you're telling me that the drasha comes from the word kacha, which is only in Parshat Tetzaveh, so how do I know now that the Urim V'Tumim need to go in and they're essential? So the Gemara says Minalan. So how do I know? So the Gemara gives three very short answers to this question. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yalef Pesach Pesach. So either it's Gzeirah Shavah, we have the word Pesach in Parshat Tetzaveh, we have it in Parshat Tzav, linking the two, Gzeirah Shavah. Okay, that's one answer. A second answer for Mishar She'amar Shmartam Es Mishmeres Hashem Ikuva. The pasuk says that you have to be Shomer Shomer's Mishmeres. Now that's in the parsha of Tzav. So that tells us that we have a pasuk Ikuva in Tzav. And finally, Rav Ashi Amar Kichen Tzivesi Ikuva. Another pasuk also in parsha Tzav Kichen Tzivesi, which tells me that it's essential. You must do it. Good. So what comes out now from this second part of the daf today is the source of this halacha, that everything described in the Miluim is li'ikuva. What's the source of that position? That's the sheet of Rav Yochanan, it's the sheet of Rabbi Chanina. Next, Tanu Rabbanan. We are on Hamud Beis, about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. No, sorry. It's about 5 lines from the top of the Amud. So Tanu Rabbanan, Kichen Tzivesi, Kasher Tzivisi, Kasher Tziva Hashem. So you'll notice that numerous times, 3 times in total. So Moshe says to Aaron, you know, these are as per instructed. Okay, that's a lot of instructions. Now, Moshe is emphasizing to Aaron, follow instructions. So why the necessity to repeat it 3 times? So the Gemara now, the Brisa here is going to darshan. So Kichen Tzivesi, we're going to go over the first time. Ba'aninas yochluhu. So Moshe is saying to Aaron, right, Rachmanis, Aaron just lost his 2 sons on that very day. Yom Hashmini, It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's a Kamas HaMishkan, and unfortunately, we just read it in Parsha, and unfortunately, it also was the day in which Nadav v'Avihu presented in Eshar Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. They died, and so now Aaron, Elazar, and Isamar are owning him on that very day. And what Moshe's instructions to Aaron is that despite the fact that you're an Onan, you must eat the karbanos. You must eat the meat of the karban chatas. So that's number one. Now, in a moment, we're just going to clarify that Aaron did not eat it, and we're going to clarify that. So the kasher tzivesi b'sha'a maisa. Now, kasher tzivesi, that's b'sha'as maisa, meaning as they were complying with all the instructions. So Moshe's reminding Aaron, yeah, this is as per instruction. And kasher tziva Hashem v'lo me'alai ani omer. And kasher tziva Hashem, so Moshe reassures Aaron, you know, I'm not making any of this up. It's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last one is really difficult to understand. Why would Aaron for a moment have thought that Moshe was, you know, Moshe would innovate. He would creatively come up with some new halacha. It's a little bit to understand what that reassurance was there for. Okay. As far as the instructions are concerned, so here's a good opportunity. Rashi really spells it out over here. So here's just a wonderful opportunity to go over the machlokas between Moshe and Aaron. So it just came up in, right, Rashi and Chumash brings it down. So Rashi in today's daf and in Yuma daf Hey, so Rashi brings it down here as well. So being that today was HaKamas HaMishkan, so there was a lot going on in the Mishkan. It was the first day of operations. But the first day of operations, how many carbon chatzos were brought on that very day? So there was one carbon chatzos because it was Yom HaShmini. It was the day in which the Mishkan was being brought. On top of that, you know, the Nisim brought their carbonos for the first 12 days of the month of Nisan. And obviously today, the first of the Nisim brought his carbonos, of which one of the carbonos is a carbon chatzos. On top of that, we're not done yet. We got one more carbon chatzos to go through. And that, of course, is today's Rosh Chodesh. Meaning it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so for every Rosh Chodesh, so you bring a carbon chatas for that as well. So what we have over here are, on that day, on the eighth day, on Yom HaShmini, so there were three carbon chatas that were brought. Of those three carbon chatas that brought, so again, Aaron was an onain, so under normal circumstances, an onain is not allowed to eat a carbon, even a Kohen Gadol. An onain is not allowed to eat carbonos. And so, Moshe came in only to discover that the carbon chatzos was not eaten. So Moshe got really upset with Aaron. He said, "I don't understand, right? I know you're an onan, and again, obviously it's a rachmanos, but it's a tragedy. But yeah, the mitzvah is you got to eat the carbonos. So why didn't you eat the carbonos? So in the Torah itself, you read the psukim. I'm sorry, I don't have the chumash in front of me right now. So the back and forth in the psukim themselves are not clear in terms of what the back was, what the fourth was. Meaning, the Torah itself does not give clarity as to what the issues were. So over here, Rashi and our Gemara, and it's Rashi and Chumash as well, obviously based on Gemaras and based on Midrashim. So Rashi over here fills in the details of what the back and forth was. So I'll start with the Rashi, Kashir Tzivesi B'Sha Maisa Amar Lahem. Right? This is all the assurances back and forth between Moshe and Aaron, because Moshe keeps saying to Aaron, right, you got to follow instructions. So it must have been that there was this tension going on where Aaron was reluctant, more than reluctant. Aaron ended up refusing to. So Rashi over here writes as follows. Kisha matza masha asu shesarfu sira chatas vihu sira shavosh chodesh. So what did Aaron do? The sira rosh chodesh, so he burnt it. Amar lahen, hein lo uvaz dama. Halo ira bapsul. Hayachem lo ochla bekodesh, kasher tzivesi eschem. Ben mincha sha'amarti lachem, ba, shemi pia kosh baruch hu needs the visi. So Moshe says to Aaron, I don't understand. And there was no disqualification that occurred. The blood of the carbon chatas wasn't brought into the heichal, which would have disqualified the carbon chatas. That didn't happen. So I'm not following. The instructions were very clear. You must eat the carbon chatas. And meanwhile, you, Aaron, so you burnt it? Now it happens to be, I'm not really sure what Aaron is supposed to do at that point in time. Meaning if Aaron already burnt it, okay, so that's it. Discussion over. Unless what Moshe was suggesting is, let's do it again. Let's get another carbon chatas and let's do it again. But that part I'm not sure about. Anyway, next Rashi. Kasher tziva Hashem v'lo me'ela ani omer. Again, this is now the third assurance that Moshe is giving to Aaron and saying to him, no, I did not innovate. This is the halacha. I'm telling you. Meaning Moshe is saying to Aaron, you have to eat the carbon even though you're in a state of aninus, but you have to eat it. That's the instructions I was given. Now Rashi over here writes the following, Moshe ta'abadavar. Okay, you're not going to see this that often. Moshe made a mistake. Shelo namar lo ela b'mincha uvechazav v'shok usi'ir shmini usi'ir nachshon shayu kachi shah. So yes, Moshe was given instructions that Aaron should be eating the karbanos, even in the state of aninus. But only karbanos that were specific for that day. Only because Nachshon was giving an unprecedented karban, meaning unprecedented, meaning it's not going to happen again historically. And it's Yom HaShmini. So the karban that's brought for the fact that it's Yom HaShmini, that also is a historically unprecedented karban. For the karbanos sha'ah, so enachinami, Aaron was supposed to eat it. And in fact, Aaron did. But when it comes to for the seer of Rosh Chodesh, the seer of Rosh Chodesh, that's something that's l'doros, that's for all future generations. That follows the standard halacha. The standard halacha is that an onin doesn't need such a karban. And Rashi goes on, aval seer Rosh Chodesh kachi doros, lohuter l'onin. An onin is not allowed to eat a seer l'doros, u'shlosha seerim kavru bo bayom, v'lo nisraf ela shel Rosh Chodesh bavad. Now, as far as what happened, so I know I gave it away already, but I got it from Rashi. What happened was is that there were three seirim in total. So the only one that Aaron disposed of, he burnt of, was only the seir of Rosh Chodesh. The other two, he did comply and he did eat. Shenamar v'oso nasan lachem laseset zavon ha'ida. Zel Rosh Chodesh ha'ba'al tomas mikdash v'kadashav. So you got to read the psukim carefully, meaning Rashi over here helps us identify through the psukim that it was the seir of Rosh Chodesh. Because it says va'osona san lachem laseis es avon ha'ida. That's code for the seer of Rosh Chodesh. Because as we know, we saw this back in Shavuos, the first two prakim of Shavuos. So the seer of Rosh Chodesh is brought for tumas mikdash ve'kadashav, to atone for any possible tumah that we introduced into the base of mikdash or eating carbon in the state of tumah. Okay, so that's what comes out over here. And so now all the assurances back and forth between Moshe and Aaron, where Moshe keeps telling Aaron, you know, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. And Aaron is pushing back. So now with the Rashi, so we see much clearer what exactly was the back and forth. And eventually what Moshe ended up saying to Aaron is, you know what? You're right. I was wrong and you're right. The seer of Rosh Chodesh should have been burned. You were correct in doing so. And Moshe owned up to his mistake, which is called leadership. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we're back in the Gemara. Amar of Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Okay, finishing up today's daf. Mechnesayim ayiksuvim beparsha. I skipped an important word. Mechnesayim ein ksuvim beparsha. Okay, so by the miluim, there's no mention of the pants. So the Kohen's going to get dressed and what? He's not going to put on the pants. Now it happens to be the mechnesayim are not mentioned. Now I would suggest to you that it's kind of obvious, right? Yes and no, meaning, right, it's part of the begadim of the Kohen. Anyway, it's not mentioned over there. So kishu amr, vizeh ha-davar asher ta'aseh lahem l'kadesh osam l'chayein, la'avi ha-mechnasayim v'asiris ha'ifa. Okay, so here's what you have to do. When you, in Parshas Tetzaveh, as we transition from the Torah outlining all the begadim of the Kohanim, and then going over the instructions for what is going to be done for the days of the Miluim, so it says Vizeh, and the key over there is the Vav. And the Vav obviously is Chibur, creates connection. Meaning that all the begadim that we just outlined, Vizeh HaDavar. So you're going to take all those clothing and bring it into the Miluim. So even though in the instructions pants aren't mentioned, but we know with that Vav, that all the begadim that are in the previous Parsha, in the first half of Parsha Tetzaveh, are going to be brought into the second half, into the Miluim. And by the way, the Gemara says, not only is that a reference to the Mechnesayim, it's also a reference to the Asiris Seifa that's brought by the Kohen Gadol as well. So Bishlam and Mechnesayim Ksiva Bin Yana De Begadim. So the Gemara says, now the pants I get, because again, first half of Parsha Tetzaveh, so that's talking about the pants. But what about the Asiris Seifa? Where's the Asiris Seifa being mentioned? El Asir Seifa Minalan Aske Zeze Mi Vizek Carbon Iron of Anava Sheri Krivel Hashem Asir Seifa. Okay, so the Gemara says it's a Gzera Shava. right? The word zeh, so that sends us to Vayikra Perek Vav, where the Torah talks about the Minchas Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, it's a gzeirah shavah. Okay, second to last topic of today. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Minayin She'af Mikra Parsha Ma'akev. The reading of the Parsha is also going to be Ma'akev. So in other words, you have to go over the Parsha. So during the Miluim. Tamalam Rav Yomar Mishel, Eida Zeh HaDavar Sher Tziva Hashem. And over here, the Drasha is Zeh HaDavar. And the Davar is the same as the word Dibor. Afilu Dibor Ma'akev. Okay, period. Last topic of today. Ketzad Hil Bishan. Okay, so Moshe addressed the Kohanim Aaron and his sons for the 7 days of the Miluim. So how did Moshe address them? What exactly was the sequence of how Moshe addressed them? So the Gemara's response to that question is very simple. My dahava hava. Gemara says, that's great. You know what? It happened already. And right, exactly. There's no nafkamina. There's no practical difference from it. Meaning it just simply happened already. And so my dahava hava. And again, I'll just reiterate. I know I said it at the beginning of Shir today, but it seems to be that question is apropos for the entire daf today. Meaning our daf today really dedicated to the discussion of what's critical by the miluim. Those things that are not critical for future generations, are they critical by the miluim? That was basically our daf today. And it's so interesting that the Gemara, like over here in terms of how did Moshe address Aaron? My dahava hava. You know what? It happened already. Like, okay. What's the difference? And the question, the Gemara could have asked that question seemingly on the entire daf today. Okay. Sorry, second time I asked that question, I don't have a good answer. Anyway, my dahava hava ela keitza mabishim lasi lavo. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know we're gonna have tchias amesim. Everyone's gonna come back. We're gonna have a base of mikdash, and so it's important. We're gonna have installation, and we need to know how Moshe is gonna do it. So the Gemara says, lasi lavo nami lecheshayavo Aaron avanav Moshe imahem. So the Gemara says, I got great news for you. For tchias amesim, Moshe is coming back, and Aaron's coming back. We're bringing everybody back. So everyone's coming back. So I'll tell you what, you know, the same way Moshe addressed Aaron over there 3,300 years ago. So good. So it's going to happen again now. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, so now I'm still wondering, you have a question that needs an answer? Because right now this doesn't need an answer. So Ella Ketzad Hil Bishan Limiz Bar Krai. So the Gemara says, okay, we want to have good Pshat and Chumash. And so good. So for those who really enjoy a good pshat and chumash, and now you have a gemara. Yuma daf hey, today's daf. So it tells us that it's important to have good pshat and chumash. And even though you're asking a question, even though it's not halacha lamaisa, and there's no nafkamina, but if you have good pshat and chumash, that's a wonderful thing. And so today's daf is a really big plug for having good pshat and chumash. So B'nai Rabbi Chiyav, Rabbi Yochanan, Chad Amar, so the Gemara says, okay, it's a machlokas. So now, in terms of getting good pshat and chumash, so we have a debate in terms of what is in fact the good pshat. V'acharkach banav, I'm sorry, Chad Amar, Aaron, sorry, I skipped. Chad Amar, Aaron, v'acharkach banav. So first what Moshe did is he dressed Aaron, totally, head to toe, and then he went to the sons. V'chad Amar, Aaron, uvanav, bevas achas. And the other one, he says that he did Aaron and his sons all at the same time. Now, let me help you out over here, because the Gemara is going to say it. I'm just giving away some of the Gemara coming up. What does it mean? He dressed them all at the same time, right? That's not, you can't do that. Well, so what it means is pants. First, he did everyone's pants. Then he did the ketonis. Then he did the mitznefes. Then he did the avnet. I'm not sure if I'm going in the right order, but you understand. He did one article of clothing at a time. That's what it means. And it says bevas achas. Okay, again, the Gemara is going to say that. I just gave it away right now. So when it comes to the ketonis and when it comes to the mitznefes, so there we have agreement that first it was Aaron and then his sons. Why? Because you can look in Parshas Tetzaveh and you can look in Parshas Tetzaveh, and over there it says Aaron Kadem. First it says Aaron, and then afterwards it says his sons. So when it comes to the mitznefes and when it comes to the ketonis. So there, we don't have a debate. Ki pligi ba'avnei. So the real debate is regarding the belt. So man damar Aaron v'achar kach banav dechsi v'ayachor osa ba'avneit v'hadar ksi v'ayachor osam avneit. So we have in Parshas Tzav, it says that he put a belt on him And then Vayechor Osam Avnei. And he put a belt on them. Okay, so first Aaron, then the sons. Umanda Amar Aaron Uvana Bevasa Achas Dichsi V'chagarta Osam. On the other hand, if you look back in Parsha Tifsava, so there it says V'chagarta Osam, meaning all three of them together. So Ulamanda Amar Aaron Uvana Bevasa Achas Dichsi V'chor Osam Avnei. V'hadrichsi V'chor Osam Avnei. So the Gemara says, okay, basically, it's a Sira and Psukim. Meaning, if I go in Parshat Tzitzav, it sounds like he did all three of them at the same time. If I look in Parshat Tzitzav, it says first Aaron, then his sons. So basically, whichever position you take, you're going to be confounded by the other Parsha. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say that, that first it was Aaron. Sorry. Let's say there was all three of them together. So what are you going to do in Parshat Tzitzav when it says that they were done separately? Vayachor Oso, and then it says Vayachor Osam. So Ar Melecha Hu Avnei Tosha Kohen Gadol Lo Zehu Avnei Tosha Kohen Hejo. So it's coming to teach us a different halacha, not in terms of the order of dress, but rather construction of the belt. Okay, here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. We know the belt of the Kohen Gadol was made up of shatnez. That we know. It's a pasuk Rashi on the top of the Amud goes through the pesukim. We know. We know the belt of the Kohen Gadol was made up of shatnez. It was made up of a composite of wool and linen. Now, of course, under normal circumstances, we're not allowed to wear shatnez. It's an Isser Min HaTorah to wear shatnez. However, the Torah says that for the big day Kohen Gadol, this is what you do. Okay, so simply, it's pretty straightforward. However, the Torah never describes the composite of the belt of a Kohen Hejo. Is it the same shatnez? Or no, is it just simply made out of linen? This part we don't know. And this is subject to a machlokas. So if you are of the position that that first Aaron, Moshe dressed Aaron and then followed them by his sons, so what do you do when it says Vayachor Osam? So what's coming to teach us is that the same construction of the belt of the Kohen Gadol of Aaron is the same construction as the Banav, as the sons. That's what you do. Who have nature shall Kohen Hejot. Ulamanda Amar Aaron Vachar Kach Banav Aksi Vachagar Tomosam Avnei. So Amalachau Kamashmalan Avnei Tosho Kohen Gadol. I'm sorry. In the first approach, I switched it up. Okay, I apologize. So in the first approach, if you subscribe to that, he dressed them in the same sequence. The Torah that says that they're differentiated tells us they're not the same belt. Okay. And Ulamanda Amar Aaron Vachar Kach Banav Vahaksi Vachagar Tosam Avnei. And here we're just going to invert. If you say that they dress them in not at the same time, but first Aaron, then his sons, what do you do with the words Vachagar Tosam? So Amar Lecha Ukamashmalan Avnei Tosho Kohen Gadol Zeo Avnei Tosho Kohen Hejo. Okay, and it comes to tell us that the construction is going to be the same. Okay. Vayachor Osov Avnei Vayachor Osam Lamali Shmamina Aaron Vachar Kach Banav. So and then it says Vayachor Oso, it says Vayachor Osam. So it comes to tell me that first Aaron was dressed and then afterwards his sons. Uvevaz achas mimishkach Allah. Let's just finish up the two dots. And now if you subscribe to the idea that it were dressed at the same time, so mimishkach Allah, how do you dress somebody at the same time? Lo tzricha da'akdim. So the Gemara says in one word what I described earlier, basically it would be every article of clothing one at a time. Right? Everybody first with the pants and then with the ketonet, then with the mitzvahs, and then with the, and then with the belt. Okay. One article at a time. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay. First half of the daf, very, very simple to summarize. Everything by the meluim is ma'akev, according to Rav Yochanan, according to Reish Lakish. Even though for future generations it's not ma'akev, it will be for the meluim. So what items are we up or open for the discussion on the Amud Aleph? Four items. Smicha, Tenufa, Prisha Shiva, and then Ribui Shiva, Meshicha Shiva. Okay, those four items, just go over the daf today to go over exactly what they are. So even though in general they're not Ma'akev, for the Milum they are going to be Ma'akev, again according to Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Reish Lakish. Rabbi Chanina happens to argue with that position. He happens to be of the position that they're not ma'akev for the meluim. Good. Second half of today's daf. Where's the source of this? Meaning, if they're not ma'akev for future generations, why should they be ma'akev for the meluim? So the Gemara gives
a number of drushas to arrive at that conclusion. One drasha is Vasisa Laron Levanav Kacha. Kacha tells us that it's Ma'akev.
That Kacha is only mentioned back in Parshat Tzitzava. What about in Parshat Tzav? So the Gemara gives a number of responses to that question. The back and forth between Aaron and Moshe, where Moshe keeps saying to Aaron, you got to follow the instructions three times. So why? So today we spent a couple of quality minutes going over what exactly the machlokus was between Aaron and Moshe, where Aaron did not eat one of the seirei chatas, specifically the seir of Rosh Chodesh, because that was a seir ladaros, and Onan is not allowed to eat it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give Moshe instructions that even in a state of aninus, the seirim are going to be eaten. That's only the seirim of Sha'ah, only those that were specific to that auspicious day. But those that are just standard operations of the Beis HaMikdash, the seir of Rosh Chodesh, that is not going to be eaten by Aaron. Aaron was correct about this. Moshe was incorrect about this. He made a mistake. And Moshe owned up to the fact that he made a mistake. The Kriyas HaParsha also is going to be Ma'akev. The Gemara tacks that along. And then the pants, I skipped one thing in the review. The pants are not mentioned in Parshat Tzitzava. Vizeha Davar, that tells us that all the articles of clothing that are mentioned in the beginning of Parshat Tzitzava go into the instructions for the Miluim. Kriyas Parsha is also going to be Ma'akev. You have to go through the Parsha in all 7 days. And then the last part of today's daf, how did Moshe dress Aaron during these 7 days? Meaning, we know that he dressed them on each one of the 7 days. How did he dress them specifically? What was the sequence of dress for Aaron and his sons? To that, the Gemara says, "My dahava hava." Wonderful question. Not relevant. No nafkaminas. The Gemara says, "Yeah, but at least for us to be able to get good pshat in the psukim, so can we do it?" The Gemara says, "Yeah, for good pshat, yeah, that we're going to do." And the Gemara points out to Machlokas whether or not he first dressed Aaron completely, then dressed his sons completely. Or was it Bevas Achas? He did everyone together, meaning sequentially with every article of clothing. Adkan.